The songs early this morning, and when I was preaching, I preached about that song at the end. And it's amazing how God gets in things, isn't it? And thank the Lord. Luke chapter number 15 this evening. Luke chapter number 15. Had a pretty good afternoon. The roast was delicious. No extra food, except for my sandwich tonight. Amen. But we had a good time. I sat down in the chair, and I'm telling you what, I sat down, didn't even know I fell asleep. An hour later, I woke up. And that was about the best nap I've had in a long time. And I woke up feeling good, but I did take some steroids before I took my nap. And so I'm like, hee-hee, let's go. And I thought, if they don't work, I'm headed to Altoona to buy something off a corner somewhere. I feel a whole lot better. They seem to really give me some energy. My wife, I got up. I went in my gun room and I sat in there, and I turned some music on, and I'm singing hymns. And my wife, she come down, she goes, I guess you're feeling better, aren't you? And I said, why? She said, I hear you singing. And I'll tell you what, God puts a melody in your heart, doesn't he? Now, my melody's sometimes off-key, but it's a melody of some kind, amen, thank the Lord. Well, this evening, something very serious I want to preach to you about. It's not a funny sermon. It's a sad and yet a sermon tonight of saying, we're going to do something about this. I'm tired of just watching the way things go. Now, there's no reason for us to continue on sometimes in the ways we go. We just need to smarten up, waken up, and let God show us something. Tonight, Luke 15, did I tell you that? Okay, Luke 15, let's look at verse number 11. I'll read verse 11. You join me on verse 12 down through verse 24. Story you know. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that faileth to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, I'm glad he did, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to speak to you. The title of my message is this: something's missing. Something's missing. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Now, Father, thank you for the story we've preached. I've got so many notes here. How many times I've preached from this story? Probably every preacher's preached on it many a time. Sunday school teachers taught on it. We all know the story. I'm so glad this boy finally came home. But Lord, he should have never left. God, help us to learn something from the story of things we see is not here. Let me explain it. Give me that power. And Lord, I pray that we'll stop the bleeding of our young folks today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's no doubt that we've been losing the last few generations of our young people to this world. Our world is absolutely a mess. Our young people have no clue what's going on. They're a mess. And we look and we see it happening and we shake our heads. But folks, we got to do more than shake our heads about it. And I think, you know, we just we just see it happening so much. And the sad thing is, now listen to this carefully, many of those young people that go to the far country come from good homes and good churches. This morning I said, it seemed like I've been catching Lester Roloff a lot lately. Lester Roloff, he was preaching about it. He says, I'll tell you, one of these days, when America gets to the place where they have this same-sex marriage and these homosexual stuff going on, he said, America's over. He said, a lot of people saying it's all right. He said, well, look and see what God did. God fried them all. Amen? Fire and brimstone, he fried them all. But Lester Roloff said this, too. He'd go around and preach, and they'd have the homes, of course, for boys and girls, and a lot of the girls. And he said, I couldn't see it, of course, it was on the radio. He said, how many of you young girls, you grew up in a good home? You know where they're at? They're in Roloff's home to help them because they messed up their lives. He said, how many of you girls have tried to commit suicide in your time? Teenage girls. Hands went up all over the auditorium. He said, ladies and gentlemen, these girls came from good homes and good churches. And I thought to myself, how in the world can that happen? We can throw around a lot of blame. But I think there's some things we find in this story that is not there that contributed to the problem. I really believe that this father was a pretty decent man. I really do. But he had a lot of flaws. And I think sometimes we get to the place, and us older folks need to make sure we're very careful about this. Us grandparents better smarten up. We sometimes look, well, you know, the grandkids, they're off doing this and doing that, and you know, that's just the way they are. Quit making excuse. It's not cute when their grandkids doing wrong. Grandkids are great. One more time. Grandkids are great. We need some new grandmas and grandpas, evidently. They're not so great. But the grandkids are great. But the thing is, they don't need a pass. We don't need to make excuse. We need to stand in the gap. I look at what's not in this story. Now, I'm not saying tonight that the story's inaccurate. It's accurate. I just look and I see what's not there. And I think it shows us what some of the problem was. Now, we all know the story of the prodigal son, and we rejoice in the fact that he came home and came to himself. I read that where he came and his father ran out to him and hugged him, kissed him, killed a fatted calf. What a great thing. But the thing is that he should have never left. And may I say this too? A far country is not miles and miles away. A far country could be in your basement, in your home, your child's room. I remember years ago, a man came and he goes, I'm a preacher, I just can't get my son to come to church. Teenage son. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm not much of a man if I can't make my kid go to church. Living under my roof. We always had a thing, you live under my roof, you do what I say. My mom was kind of easy on my brother, Dave. Dave didn't want to get up in the morning. He slept in the basement. We had a bedroom down there. And my mom would stand at the top of the steps and go, Dave! Time to get up, all week long at work. Well, my dad just got home from work. My dad got fed up with it. He jumped out of bed. I heard him stomping. He stomped to the kitchen, turned the water faucet on, filled a big glass of water. Stomped down those steps, poured it in my brother's face. He got up. And I was looking at some of you right now, you're going, oh, he shouldn't have done that. He should have smacked him instead. You know what happened? He got up after that. My mom would go to the door, Dave, I'm coming. I wonder where the men are today. in our homes and moms today and grandparents, and quit making excuses and thinking it's cute because they go out and they get tattooed all over and pierced all over and say, well, you know, I just don't understand it. When you understand where those ideas come from. Praise the Lord, there was a father, though, still waiting for him when he came home. But I'm going to say something that's really sad, and it may hurt us all. But most prodigals don't come home. They get attached to this world. 41 years, this place ought to be packed with young people who grew up here. And they're satisfied. It's not just here. I could take you back to my church back home where there were thousands of teenagers. And they went off, and we always go, but you know what? The prodigal son can come home. He can, but I'll guarantee you most of the time they do not, because they get attached to the world. Now our story here, he got right. He came home. And his father was there for him. But what I think tonight, what we've got to do is stop them from becoming a prodigal. And girls, I want you to listen carefully to me tonight like you've never listened before. Boys, I want you to listen. A teenage girl back here, teenage boy right here. I want you all to listen to me like you've never listened before. Because I want us to do something to keep you from going to that far country. It may be a little harsh, some of the things that I'll say. But I promise you someday you'll look back and you'll say, I remember that old preacher that got up there and cried and pled with us and kept me, that I didn't go to the far country. I know some things missing here in this story. One of them was this. He came to his father, and my question was, where was his mom? Moms are important in a home, aren't they? That sweetness of a mom. Mom can get to the child even better than a dad that's kind of rough and tough. But the story doesn't mention mom. I think, where is she? Maybe she died. Maybe this was a widow man, widower, and he's trying to take care of his son. That may have been. But I know we live in a day and age today where a lot of moms are missing. Oh, they're at home. But they're not at home. A lot of moms in the home, they fix the lunch and the meal and they send the kids off to school and that's all it is. And I was reading a story about in Wisconsin, that boy that killed a bunch of kids in his school. He was drawing those pictures, and they called the parents into the school and said, hey, well, you need to come in. We got problems with your son. He's wanting to kill people. Parents came to the, mom and dad came to the school. They said, you need to take your son home and get some things straightened out. And they said, no, we're not taking him home. He's all right. He killed a bunch of people, a bunch of kids in his school. His mom and his dad both were arrested too for a part of this, and they were convicted this week. And I read one of the emails that the mom had made that helped to convict her. She didn't want the son to come home because she had horseback riding lessons that afternoon. A mom knowing that her son's drawing pictures about killing people and more interested in riding horses. That's a lot of America today. Where was mom? Was she at the yoga place? Where was she? She wasn't there that day. And I thought, wouldn't it be something if she had been there too, and mom with her tears, and when the boy said, Daddy, I want my money, I want to go, I'm leaving here. I could imagine if she's the right kind of mom, tears could have come to her eyes and she could have begged that son, don't go. Where was she? God intended for a mom and a dad to be in a home. I know the kids can't determine that. But us parents ought to dead sure, if we're going to bring children to this world, we ought to be there for those children and help guide them in this world. Dads, your kids need you. Moms, your kids need you. Your girls, fellas, need you. They need a man to understand what a strong man is and not pick up some queer-looking guy someday. These boys need to know what a young lady is, not some hussy. God intended for a mom and a dad. It's hard enough with two parents, let alone one. Got dads today, and I'm all for sports. I used to hunt and fish all the time. Now I'm just living for one thing, turkey hunting. Let me tell you something. Hunting and fishing and sports will never take the place of our time with our kids. Spiritual time. Dads are more interested in hopping in the boat and going to the lake than they are. I watched this evening coming into church how many boats have passed going through town. I'm thinking, how many of you men, you've got boys and girls at home and you didn't have them in church this morning because you were out at the lake. It was more important, the lake. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more important in the whole wide world than your children. Because there's a far country out there that'll destroy them. Got moms today more interested. Oh, they say, well, I'm at home, but they're on their telephone and social media all the time trying to tell everybody what they had for breakfast. Who cares? Walmart has a sale. Who cares? Should have been in your Bible and got around your kids and taught them something. Hugged them. There was no mom. And there was no authority in his dad. Did you know that? Verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, period. And what did dad do? And he divided unto him his living. Boy, I wish I had a dad that was that easy with me. I'd say, Dad, could I have $5? He goes, what for? Well, I wanted to buy this. No. He said, man, he hated you. No, he understood. He understood the word no. A lot of us dads today have a problem. Go, oh, it'll hurt their feelings. I'd rather hurt their feelings than destroy their life someday. It bothers me how easy it was for the son to get what he wanted. Can I give you an illustration maybe what should have happened? Titus, you'll be my... You're the farthest one away from the Lord, so I'll use you. I'm the father. He's the son. I'm in here working on some things. He comes up to me, and I look at him and say, what do you want, son?
I want all my money. I want my inheritance.
Oh, you want your inheritance?
Yes.
Yeah. But we've got that.
I want it.
You want it?
I want it.
Okay. No.
All my friends are getting it. Why can't I?
I'm going to smack him. I don't know what's going on here. Son, listen, you don't understand what's going on here. And I don't have to explain to you. But I think I know more than you know. You can't keep your room clean. How are you going to go off to somewhere else and try to take care of things?
I'll figure it out on my own.
No. Go to your room. Oh, is he disappointed? Some of you feeling sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him at all. You know why? He's learning something. He found out dad said no. You know what I like about it? He's in his room. All right, you can come out, son. Is your room clean? Okay, go sit down and wipe that smirk off your face. I think he's mad. I was going to give him a dollar for the money, but I didn't give him anything. But how easy, what did the dad do? He divided up and said, well, you know, it's his inheritance. Who said he was supposed to have it now? He was too young to handle it. We know by what happened in the story. All there had to be was a dad. And let me tell you something. A dad that didn't start when he was 17, 18 years old, but a dad that started when he was a little kid. And Noah, what, you're 10? 9? 9? Like Noah's age, when he says, Dad, can I have this? And his dad says sometimes, no, Noah, you can't. He goes, well, I don't know, why not? Reese does. Well, Reese, you're what, 15? 14? You're not that old yet. No, son, you can't have it. I believe his daddy knows something.
Yeah.
You can't let the little kids do everything the bigger kids do.
Right.
And a lot of things we let the bigger kids do, they should not do. so easily just divided up the money and gave it to his son. I'm thinking you're asking for trouble. You feed this young man that his mind is exploding, and he thinks he knows what is best, and he's going to do what he thinks, and his daddy goes and puts all that money in his hand. He's asking for trouble. There was also no Bible position. It's never right to go to the far country. Do you know what I said? It's never right to go to the far country. Well, I think I can handle it. No, you can't. That's why there's so many young people today, and even adults now that were young people at one time, went to the far country, and they found a lodging place in that far country. They got used to the hog pen. No Bible position. He had no business going there. No business. Girls, you have no business going to the far country. There's nothing there for you. Nothing for you. Nothing. It'll destroy you. I also look and I see there's no preacher there. It sounds like self-serving, but I tell you what, everybody needs a preacher. That's why I'm so thrilled when I see the kids listening and paying attention. We have good kids in this church pay attention. Pay attention, listen to me and that. You know what? They need a preacher to guide them. I'm telling you what, any preacher's worth anything is going to open up this King James Bible and give them instruction from the Bible. I'm not here to try to entertain them. I'm not here to try to help them be more like the world. I want to keep them from going to the world. There was no preacher. I'm thinking, why didn't, you know, wouldn't it have been something the dad would have said, well, wait a minute, son, let's have mom come in here or let's go down and talk to the preacher. I don't want to. I didn't ask you if you want to. We're going to see the preacher. You say, well, he won't go. Call the preacher. Preacher will come. I come. Yes, preacher's here. Can you imagine? You're going, oh, no. Two against one now. Because you know what? He knows what the preacher's going to say. And the preacher ought to have the right things to say. Because I want to keep him from the far country. I don't want his life to be destroyed. I don't want him to be comfortable away from God. Because what's going to happen? He's going to find him a wife, maybe. And he's going to have some children that are going to be in the far country with him. Sodom, Gomorrah, how many of those little boys and girls died fried because of their parents? There was no compassion. I'm glad to say there was compassion when he came home. Father fell on him and kissed him, hugged him. I'm glad it was compassion. But again, go to the first part of the story. There's no compassion. Dad, I want my inheritance. Okay, divide it up. Here you go. Where's Dad going? Son, don't do this. Son, I said no. But Dad, I'm doing it. Son, you know it's not right. Son, I love you. I don't want you to destroy your life. Our kids need to see that it's real, that what we have in the Lord. Help them to see that they can destroy their life. Not looking to see if we can make them have fun. There was no prayer. There it is. There's no prayer. Nobody prayed. You believe in prayer tonight? Our kids ought to be bathed in prayer. Here again. The dad should have said, son, God don't want you to go to the far country. He doesn't want you. It's not good. That's not what God wants. And I don't think you need to go there. And son, I know you're older now. And I love you. Don't go. Don't go. Some compassion could work. Let's pray. God, pray for my son. God, don't let him destroy his life. God, keep him from that far country. God, keep him pure. Oh, God, speak to his heart right now. I know he doesn't understand me. But God, do something. Don't you think prayer could change things? No prayer. I thought, what if there had been those things? Now here's the thing. If there had been all those things, maybe he wouldn't have left, but one thing we know about this story is he went away and he came home. His father looks and here comes the son. Father sees him coming down the road. He runs out. I'd do it, but I can't run. He runs out, he hugs his son. He's anxious to see him home again. And what a joy, I'm sure, it was in his daddy's heart that his son came home. But I think something happened when he came up to him. I'm so glad you're here, son. Give him a hug and all of a sudden they go. He smelled like a pig. Don't you think he did? He's not in the swine pit there. He's not with those hogs anymore. But I guarantee you, he still had the smell of the hogs on him. Farmers understand this. Sometimes when you work on the farm, that the smell sticks on you. I remember we had a boy in our school one day, and I don't think he washed real good. He comes to school, and I'm like, I smell farm. Now, y'all, when you come to church, you folks have been farmers. I have never noticed it on you, but I notice on kids sometimes because they just don't wash too well. They go in there and they kind of wash their hands off. I'm clean. But you know what? Something happens. It's like at the paper mill. Dave, you know what I'm talking about there. You always stunk. That smell sticks to you. That boy walked away from the hog pen and he came all the way back home, but I'm sure when his daddy hugged him, he still smelled that. I believe that night when he laid down in bed, he laid there and all of a sudden the smell was there in the hog pen again. Then he says, but I'm home. But that smell stayed with him. You can't get rid of it that easy. It'll latch on to you. Sit down, Stevie.
There was no protest. I think his father made it easy for him to leave. Like I said, the father had every right in the world to say no. It was his house. It was his son. He had responsibility. He should have said, you're not going. The son could have said, well, you know what? I'm going. He said, well, you're going to go. You're not getting one penny. We need to quit facilitating our children's travel to the far country. Well, if you're going to go, let me make sure everything's okay for you. You don't need to make everything okay for them. Don't facilitate. It ought to be the hardest thing they do. I think one of our problems is we make it easy for them. And they're comfortable. But he just gave him his inheritance without protest, and there was no spiritual protest. Wouldn't have been something the dad would have said, son, I know what you're asking. And you know what's wrong. Let me ask you something, son. Are you saved? Are you really saved?
Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I did it one time when I was...
Are you really saved? You want to go to a far country? You want to get away from God? Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Things change. I know, smart Alec. You know everything. It takes you to the hog pen. No spiritual protest. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them, not walk in the path of the far country. Like I said, I think we make it too easy for the prodigals. Daddy says, all right, You're still going to leave? He says, yeah, I'm leaving. I don't care what you say. Daddy says, if I can't stop you, I'm telling you one thing right now, for dead sure, you're not getting one penny. You know what the backslidden mom goes? But he'll starve. Well, maybe he'll get hungry and come home. I packed my bags one day when I was a little kid. I told my mom, I said, I'm leaving. She said, okay. That was back in the days of paper grocery bags. She went over to the sink underneath where she kept them. She pulled out a paper bag. She says, here, pack your clothes. I went in there and I put a couple things in the bag and I went out. She said, bye. I said, bye. I went behind the garage. I sat down behind the garage for about 30 minutes. Got hungry. Kill the fatted calf. I'm home, amen. I can see that boy. Daddy, I'm leaving. And nothing you say is going to stop me. He goes in his dirty room. Starts packing a bag, and Daddy's watching him set up. Those nice tennis shoes. You just put in that bag. Didn't I buy those for you?
Well, yeah, you bought them for me.
Well, since I paid for them, they're mine. Okay. He puts on his t-shirt, Air Jordan t-shirt. Is that one of them? Put t-shirt on there, and Daddy goes, whoa, 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 whoa. When did you get that? Oh, Dad, remember you gave it to me for Christmas. Oh, that's right. I bought it. Give it here. He goes, Daddy, you got my shoes. You got my shirt. Daddy says, by the way, them skinny jeans, didn't you use my money to buy those? Oh, yeah. He said, Daddy, why am I going to get to the far country? He says, well, evidently you're going to walk half naked.
He said, man, that's mean.
It might make them think. Daddy, don't make it easy. Well, I mean, if you're going to leave, let me get your credit card so you don't starve, so you got enough gas. Let them run out of gas. In fact, if it's not their car, don't let them take it. You say, man, that sounds so mean. I don't want them to go to the far country because they get there and they stay there and they won't come back most of the time. There was no prophecy, no testimony. Wouldn't have been something if the daddy said, hey, let me go get somebody. He goes down to the church. He says, hey, brother so-and-so, remember how your life was a mess? You were a drunkard and everything. You just destroyed your life as a teenager. And the guy said, yes. He said, but thank God I got saved, got right. He said, would you come with me? You need to talk to my son. Wouldn't have been something if somebody would have stepped up and said, hey, young man, I've been there. I've been to that hog farm. I know what's out there in that far country. I know how I lost so much and so many memories I can't. Say, God, help us to keep them from taking that first step. If we could just do that. You can imagine if Dad would have said, son, I don't know where Mom's at, but Grandma and Grandpa live down here down the road a little bit. Just wait a minute. Let me call Grandma and Grandpa up to come pray with us. Thank God for grandmas and grandpas that'll pray for the kids. Wouldn't have been something if Grandma and Grandpa, listen carefully now. Wouldn't have been something if Grandma and Grandpa would have come up there. I'm sure as soon as the door opened, Grandma would be in tears. Grandma would be in tears. She walks in, she says, what's going on? And the father says, Mama, your grandson wants to go away. He wants his inheritance. He wants to go to a far country. Grandma's tears flowing. She goes over and hugs him around the neck. Grandpa comes around there and hugs him and says, oh, son, don't do it. Can you see what could have happened? It was not there. think what happens sometimes, we get mad at the kids instead of weeping over the kids with compassion. I'll be honest with you, when the kid comes and says, I'm leaving, give me my money, I'll get mad. But I want compassion. The reason I get mad, because I love them. I don't want them to destroy their life. I don't want them to be on the wrong side of the Lord. You ask God, you know, sometimes I think this is the way we are sometimes. We're afraid when they do that. Well, how's it going to make me look? Who cares what it makes you look like? You care about them. Try to get them not to go. We need to pray and ask God to fix the situation. We have this idea, well, let's just get their attention on something else. Oh, son, you want to go to the far country? Probably sounds like a lot of fun over there, a lot of friends. I'll tell you what, you stay here, and I'll enroll you in karate, okay? I'll enroll you in bowling. I mean, we'll go fishing together. Nothing wrong with those things. Karate's kind of stupid. Why'd you go do that stupid stuff anyways? He didn't need to have his sight adjusted on something else other than his sight adjusted to God. We have this idea, well, if I can get them interested in doing this, then what you'll have, on Sunday they'll go to karate practice. On Sunday they'll do their ball practice. They'll do everything else on Sunday. Let me tell you something. It's not they need to be shown something else other than the Lord. They need to be in church every time the doors are open. The boy needed more than that. There was also no church in the story. I can't tell you how important it is to be in a good Bible-believing church. I don't understand this stuff. People want their kids to go to a church that has facilities. Stupid. A stupid idea. Facilities are nice. Of course they are. But there's more than facilities. There's a lot of kids today, they're learning how to swing on swings and go on teeter-totters, and yet they don't have the Word of God taught to them. I tell you, a church in our own town where what happens on Wednesday nights, they started having volleyball while the adults are in Bible study. They're throwing them to the far country. Man, kids have to have fun. Well, then have fun some other day. You don't take them out of church. You get them in a church. You choose a church by what they're being taught, not the facilities that they have. I get so frustrated sometimes. You can tell. Parents want their kids in the best facilities. And you know what they do? They got games, but they have no Bible. Those kind of churches there, just like, you know, I'm like saying this, what Bible you got? Well, we got one in the office somewhere. But we got all the instructions to our swing sets right here. We need to draw some lines. You're not crossing that line, son. We got to quit making excuses. You say, but preacher. Oh, I know, you sound so sweet. But preacher, they're kids. That's why I'm saying this. No disrespect, but he's still a kid. He doesn't understand. His life is so senior moment all of a sudden is so impressionable. If he gets the right impression, we win. If he gets the wrong impression, we lose. He can go and find a bunch of kids that will agree with him. And they'll say, your dad's old-fashioned. Y'all, thank God you got an old-fashioned dad and mom. You got the girls today, they want to go to the prom. Prom's out of hell.
Well, I went to it.
Well, yes, God forgive you. Now, you girls, I don't even know if you know what a prom is. You know what a prom is? Good. It's a dance. No. Girl goes to daddy and says, daddy, one of the boys asked me to go to the prom with them. You know what daddy does? Oh, my girl's popular. You better be careful, daddy. Because boys are boys. You check back when you were a boy.
I mean, you may be old now and don't quite understand it, but you know when you were young. And these yahoos out here today know more than you knew when you were a kid. And she goes, Daddy, he's so nice. He wants me to go to the prom with him. Daddy goes, okay. So what you do at the prom? Oh, we'll dance. Well, what kind of dancing are you going to do? Well, it's more a slow dance, Dad. It's not this wild stuff. Oh, so will there be touching? Now, I've never been to dance before, but I've watched Lawrence Welk before. Slow dancing's touching. Come up here, hon. No, we won't do it. Put my arm around her. That's touching. Those boys are not married to those girls. Don't you let the boys touch you. They touch you, tell your dad. If your dad don't do anything, tell your mom. If your mom don't do anything, come tell me and I'll beat the fire out of them. And you keep your hands off the girls. They go, well, you know, slow dancing, Daddy. Everybody does it. I don't care if everybody does it. You ain't doing it. And Daddy will be smart enough to say, well, what do you wear? And she goes, I picked out a really fancy, sparkly dress. Let me see it. She comes out there and she holds it there and it looks like a glorified handkerchief. There's not enough material on it to clean a 12-gauge shotgun, amen? She's got this little thing holding up there and say, how about that? It's so pretty. And then, you know what the right kind of dad would say? No. You go, but sir, it's the prom. No one died because they didn't go to the prom. But a lot of little girls lost a lot when they went to the prom. And we have this idea that, well, you know, at least if they go to the prom, they go to that far country, they're there, but they got a good job. Whoop-dee-doo. Why, they bought a house. In fact, they're in a church. Question is, what's a house have to do with it in the far country? What does it matter, the job and the money they're making? Oh, but they're making lots of money. There's more to life than making money. That's why many people are not in church today, because they're making money. They've left God out and they have the God of money. They go to a liberal church. And we have this idea, it's okay. It's a far country. It's a far country. There's more to life than having a good job and making money and buying a home. There's more to it. I'd rather my kids live in a shack serving Jesus than living in a mansion not serving Jesus. I've always prayed, God, I'd love for them to all live around about me, except for maybe one or two of them. I'd love my kids to live around about me, but I always pray, God, I want them to live where you want them to live, serving God. Dan texted me this morning about a little before 6 o'clock this morning, saying he's praying for me. I told him I'm so proud of him. I'd love for them to be close by to me, but I'm telling you what, I wouldn't want them to be anywhere else than right smack dab in the middle of God's will. The rest of them, they live so far away. The other day I saw a picture. You guys liked it. Jace was on a bull, one of those bucking bulls, you know, the not real ones, but the thing takes you around, flips you around. He was on that, and he was riding that thing, put one arm in the air, and all of a sudden it threw him off, and I just laughed and laughed and laughed. I wrote Rex, I said, I wish I lived closer. I saw another video of that little boy singing in the choir at church. I see him out soul winning. I'd love to have him closer, but I'm glad he's where God wants him to be. The folks, we're not going to keep them all from the far country. We're going to do so much. But I'm dead sure going to try my best for the days that I have left to keep our kids from going to that far country. How many little girls went to that far country, ended up in an abortion clinic? They came home, but they know that baby's gone. I think it's kind of interesting today. They're talking about the frozen embryos and that. All kinds of fussing, people fighting over it. And now they're saying this. Well, those are babies. Well, the frozen's are babies, but the ones in the womb, it's just nothing. Kill it. Where our world is. I believe many of those little girls that end up in that abortion clinic go home at night when they get right, still can't get the smell of that abortion clinic out of their nose. Taking my treatments, one of the things that bothered me so much at first was I'd get home and I could smell the treatments. I could smell the pills that I take in my perspiration. It's there. That's all right. I'm glad it's not the smell of the hog pen. We've got to make sure we don't make it easy for them. I'm not saying being mean. I mean this. Let's be adults because they are kids. Young folks are going to be flashy lights out there and inviting things for you in the far country. They're going to have all kinds of lights shining. And there's going to be other kids and other girls going to say, it's so much fun. So many boys, I know right now, boys don't mean a whole lot to you. They're kind of yucky, aren't they? You'll get over that. They're going to say, there's all kinds of boys and they're really going to like you. Let me tell you something. You make sure you keep your eyes on the Lord.
Right.
Boys, same thing. You guys are going to say, there's a lot of girls out there. Find you a girlfriend. You wait till God gives you the one you need. Let me tell you something. After all these years, I'm glad I got the one God wanted me to have. She's closer to me now. I need her more now than ever. She's closer to me now than ever. It would not happen if I just chose anybody. May I say this? The hog pen still stinks. Hog pens don't smell any better. They stink. I like sausage. I like bacon. Every Christian does. If you're not, the altar's open. You come right now. But a hog pen stinks. We used to have a pig. Then he got married. I mean, Mark won a hog here for a Bible school one day. He won, caught one, and we kept it. That thing, it stunk, but boy, did he taste good. The hog pen's always going to stink. Tonight, if you girls will listen to me, and you boys will listen to me, I'll save you. It'll save you from some awful things. You'll look back and say, I'm glad. I'm glad that preacher that night preached that sermon. You may sit here tonight and say, oh my mom and dad's listening to this. Well, praise the Lord. And grandma and grandpa, don't you go home and go, well, he was a little rough about things. Quit making your stinking excuses. Be a godly grandma and grandpa. And I think tonight we need to declare war on losing our kids to the far country. But it's going to take us all. That's my sermon. Now's the invitation. I want us tonight to think about it before we, don't want you by head yet, I want you to just think for a moment, come and explain a little bit to you. It's going to take us all to do this. And tonight I'm going to ask you, you don't have to, but I'll ask every teenager in this room and the kids on the front row, if you're younger than a teenager, I'm going to ask you tonight to come to the altar. I know I don't do this very often. I don't know if I've ever done it before. I think tonight we ought to just decide we're going to do something. And then I'm going to say this too. I'd like for every mom and dad of those kids, I'll have them come up here. I want you to gather around your child, mom and dad, that will unite together and say, you know what, we're going to do something. God help us. Grandma and grandpa, if you've got a grandchild here tonight, I plead with you, come and get with mom and dad and get around the child And let's pray for them at the altar. God protect them. These kids need us. I'll be here. And I'll be praying for all of you too. You need the preacher. You may say, well, that sounds kind of crazy. Then you just sit there and do your own thing. Why don't you just go on and get in your car and go home then? Because I think we need mean business. I'm tired of the devil getting our kids. Tired of it. And understand, we may not keep them all, but we could keep one more. The truth of the matter is, we could keep all these kids. We need to dedicate ourselves to do all that we can to keep them from the far country. Let's all stand for a moment. Mr. Bishop's going to get ready to play. Wait a second until I tell you to, but you go ahead and be ready. If you young folks, teenagers and kids, if you guys all just come up here, if you would just stand up here for a few moments. I'm not going to have you talk or anything, just the kids right now. It's worth it. If he wants to wait and come with you, that's all right too, Billy, if that's all right. I know he's pretty young yet. He can come with you. They're worth it. Moms and dads, if you got a child here, would you please come? I mean, again, you don't have to, but your kid, it's your kid. Some of you got multiple ones. Looks like you're going to have to reach across the aisle, some of you. Hey, Ryan, come on, lock the door and come on up. I'll get them if they come in. I know some are in the nursery. Some are in junior church. They can't come up here right now. Grandma and grandpas, would you come?